Today's scripture is Psalm 107, 1 through 9, and Ayman will read it in Arabic first, and then I will read in English.
Well, thank you. Thanks for love for me and my family. Thank you. احمدوا الرب لأنه صالح لأن إلى الأبد رحمته ليقل مفدي الرب الذين فداهم من يد العدو ومن البلدان جميعهم من المشرق ومن المغرب من الشمال ومن البحر تاهوا في البرية في قفر بلا طريق لم يجدوا مدينة سكن جياعا وعطاشا أيضا أعيت أنفسهم فيهم فصرخوا إلى الرب في ضيقتهم فأنقذهم من شدائدهم وهداهم طريقا مستقيم ليذهبوا إلى مدن وسكان فليحمدوا الرب على رحمته وعجائبه لبني آدم لأنه أشبع نفسا مشتهية وملأ نفسا جائعة خبزا الجلوس في الظلمة.
Hallelujah.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wasteland, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind, for He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Bless them, Jason.
Well, on this Pentecost Sunday, the Sunday when the Christian Church celebrates the Spirit of Christ, the active Spirit of Christ within us, guiding us, directing us, bringing scriptures to our minds, all the things that make Christ's presence ongoing now, this time of Pentecost, I decided that I wanted to share with you one thing that I have been doing in the last few months that has activated the Spirit's presence in my life. And I need this activation right now, because as we spent some time in Sunday school, you realize, or at least for me it is, it's a chaotic time to be an overseer type person. And I say overseer type person because in some contexts, the word bishop is a turnoff to a third of the people. And then overseer is a turnoff to another third of the people. So I'm just going to speak to a third of you this morning, and you know who you might be. And the fact is, I can share with you, I'm a creative person. And so being asked to be a gatekeeper of the church is no fun for me. That's not the role I signed up for. The role I signed up for was encouraging pastors and encouraging churches to keep their eye on Christ. So being an overseer as a gatekeeper is not what I would like to do. So I want to share with you one thing that I've been doing to defuse this chaos that's going on. And that has been that I've been focusing on the Psalms. And about 8 months ago, I started memorizing Psalms. Started with number 1, I went to 4, 27, 32, and I hadn't memorized scripture in a long time. And it was like my brain was in motion when I was memorized. I could feel my brain kind of like, oh. And 50 years ago, I was in the Bible Memory Association, BMA. And every week I'd go up and I'd recite my verses. And you know, in the BMA system, you would recite scripture and you would get trophies and prizes. Now, I don't know what that was incorporating in my life. It was like I was becoming a trained SEAL when it comes to memorizing scripture. You get a prize. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Give me some candy. So 50 years later, when I started memorizing Psalms, it was harder. It was harder. But I had a need. And then I got the Psalms on my phone. My daughter put it on my phone, and I started walking around the city and walking around County Park, listening to the Psalms, just letting them wash over me. In fact, on Wednesday when I had lunch, Randy and I had lunch at the Himalayan on Orange Street, I walked down from my house, which is about four blocks away. I listened to Psalm 103 and 104 before I had curried stuff with Randy on Wednesday. It's one of my favorite restaurants. I like that place. But simply getting the Psalms in your head has a long history. Has a long history. In fact, in the Benedictine monks used to go through all 150 Psalms in a week, because it was so shaping to their faith. Just let, you know, not saying, well, what does it mean to Shechem and Manasseh? Where are they? And what? No, just simply letting them wash over you the words and the emotions of the church, of people following God. And what I like about the version that I have on my phone is that they're read by just a bunch of regular people. There's no music. There's no frills. There's no professional narrator, you know, in the beginning, cue music, God created. I mean, that's nice. I like listening to music and all that dramatic stuff. But this version that I have is not by professional people. I like that. In fact, some of them you listen to, you can like hear stuff in the background. And you think, wait a minute, I paid money on Amazon for this. And so I'm listening to them. But I like it because the Psalms were not written by professionals. They were not written by, they were written by people just doing their best to find God. And in this hectic time of leadership, I'm doing the best I can to find God. That's what I do all the time, doing the best to find God. And letting the Psalms wash over me is one way I'm doing that. One way I can activate the spirit that I know is in me. And sometimes in chaotic or anxious times, that spirit's presence gets pushed down. So one way I prepared for this particular sermon was to let Psalm 107 wash over me. And then I would think of you just a little bit. What little I know of you. I would think of you. I would think of being here in these bright lights here at Whitmer Heights, and just kind of setting myself in this context. And the context of this particular psalm, let me just do a little setting the stage of Psalm 107. Psalm 107 begins the fifth book within the broader book of Psalms. It's broken up into five sections, and Psalm 107 begins the fifth and final section, and it's a grouping of Thanksgiving psalms. A bunch of Thanksgiving psalms. And one of the culmination points is a section of psalms that they used to sing when they were going to the church in Jerusalem. And they'd actually sing them. You know, it was like they'd sing, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." And then they'd go up and they'd walk up to the church singing these psalms, this grouping from 107 to 150. It's actually a primer on biblical gratitude. It's Thanksgiving Psalms. It's a primer on biblical gratitude. But 107, it gives us a facet or a nuance of Thanksgiving. And I call it gritty gratitude. And what gritty gratitude is, I'm going to show you what it is. Gritty gratitude is when life is pushing you down, you turn your face to God. That's the image of 107. It's 43 verses, but I'll give it to you in one image. This. That's what 107 is. gritty gratitude, when life is pushing you down and everybody has an experience, I don't care who you are, of life pushing you down. You can be sitting in an easy chair watching Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, and life can be pushing you down. That's what Psalm 107 is about. So, the point of this sermon is, this week, when life is pushing you down, when you get to that point and you'll know when you're there, I want you to choose gritty gratitude just one time. Not every day, not all the time, not perfect. Christianity is not a faith of perfect. Just one time when life is pushing you down, turn your face to God. See that picture and turn your face to God. So I want to talk a little bit about this quality of gritty gratitude and to catch the power that gritty gratitude has to activate the Spirit of God in your life. I would like to talk about the worst sin. The worst sin. Now, I can't imagine what you thought when I said this. Some of you probably thought you were transported back to the 1950s. And you began to sweat. The worst sin. Think of it. What is it, the worst sin? I mean, if you've been in the church for a while, you probably have a catalog of about 10 of them. The worst sin. But there's somebody that's been influencing my thinking a lot recently by the name of Saint Ignatius. And he wrote a letter to a friend about this very thing. The worst sin. Actually, he said, let me talk to you about the most abominable sin ever. And what do you think he said? The worst sin is ingratitude. Ingratitude. I like this. I wouldn't have thought of that in a million years. You know, if I was getting super spiritual, I might have said pride. But I didn't think of ingratitude. But so fundamental to turning our heads and our hearts towards God that he said ingratitude is the worst. And gratitude he put above everything else. Everything else. Ingratitude is denying the God in front of your face. It's like, praise God for this poison ivy. Praise God for that flame. Just everything. Praise God for the 10,000 steps that my socks absorbed the rest of this day. Everything. The God in front of our face, because when life is pushing you down, God gets pushed down and we don't. We lose that sense of gratitude. And gratitude opens us up and expands the love of God in our life like nothing else. That's the way it works. That's part of the Pentecost miracle. Now, we all know that gratitude is the most health-producing emotion. There's 50 studies that say, if you do, you know, if you're thankful, if you do gratitude, you know, your blood pressure will go down and you'll breathe easier and you won't need breath strips and you won't need your CPAP and all, whatever it is. That's why you can go to Barnes & Noble and get a gratitude journal. That's why you can go to gratefulness.org and get some nice quotes. They're good. It's good stuff. Or you can read a book by somebody from the positive psychology movement. It's all good. They have simple titles. Happiness. Yes. But if you want to expand the love of God, try a dose of gratefulness when we are least able to do it. That's when the power comes out. It invites God to expand within us. Now, I did this at 2 a.m. on a Friday morning about a month ago. And let me tell you, you know the kind of thoughts that happen after 2 a.m. I couldn't sleep. My mind was racing. I was being hit at all my vulnerabilities. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're not a good enough bishop, whatever it is. You didn't answer that question right. Whatever. That's what happens after 2 a.m. So I got up, I got my journal, I went downstairs, I got some granola that I made. I took some vanilla almond milk and I poured it on top. And I started writing away. Joanne and I, Joanne is my wife, we have a pact. Do not let anyone ever see our journals. If the house is on fire, let the journals burn. We're clear on that. We're very clear on that. There's crazy stuff in my journal. You know, if somebody read it, they go, oh my goodness. You know, the journal is where you're in process. We're always in process and God is working with us, but don't read my journal. You'd never think I was a bishop. You may not even think I was a Christian. It's crazy stuff in my journal. So I'm on this 2 a.m. now, it's probably 2:30 now in the morning, and my granola is gone, and I'm writing away intense stuff. And then a line from a psalm comes to my mind, and I write it down. And then I get back to my, you know, intense writing, oh God, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden a line from St. Ignatius comes to me. Jason, everything that happens to you can deepen your understanding of God. Everything. And then I just started writing. I choose God. I choose God. That's gritty gratitude. Being grateful at the worst time is what lets Christ in. It's one way of being. It's not always just kind of like, oh, every day with Jesus and like that. This is at that particular time when Christ can teach us. When life is pushing us down and you're being deceived, you turn your head towards God. Now, let me just give you some spiritual wisdom for any of you who have been up at 2 a.m. and you are writing away, or you just don't know what's going on. Do not make decisions. Do not make changes based on your thoughts at 2 a.m. Do not do it. 2 a.m. is the time for gritty gratitude. When God is on, and you know, the enemy of your being, or Satan, whatever your theological worldview is, has free reign of your thoughts. Don't make changes. Don't make decisions. Let me tell you one thing. They are wrong. They are wrong. 2 a.m., those times, is a time to invite God back. To invite God back. It is a time for gritty gratitude. To remember that greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Gritty gratitude turns us towards God. It happens. There's something that happens. Remember I said in the beginning, it's like activating the spirit within you. You do gritty gratitude at those times when you shouldn't be doing it. You activate the presence of God. Gratitude can be so gritty, but it can be so sweet. It invites God to expand within us. That's what Christianity is about. It is about expanding God's love. Anytime we take scripture and it becomes more constricting, it's bad interpretation. The Bible is a book of expansion, not contraction. Turning away from God, we call that sin, that's contraction. Turning towards God is repentance, expands us. You know, repentance is probably the most positive thing that you can do. You know, people say, oh, repentance, oh, God's going to find me out or whatever. What it is anything that is inhibiting the freedom that you desire in your life when you said yes to Christ. And that freedom of Christ will be taken away. That's repentance. It's not like, oh, God's going to find me out. I ate 5 Snicker bars last Tuesday. It's not that at all. It's like, what's going to give you more freedom so you can get what your heart desires? And in this case, ingratitude contracts, gratitude expands. So if you turn to God when gratefulness is the stupid thing to do, I simply want you to notice what happens. What happens in your imagination and how God honors that turn. God will honor that turn and that choice that you make. So when I talk about gritty gratitude from this psalm, it's turning to God when every vulnerability in your life is flaring and deceiving you. Every one of us is loved by God. Every one of us is worthy in God's eyes. I would want to say that every time. I'd want to look at every one of you and say, everyone is worthy in God's eyes. But what happens is those basic principles get pushed out of our lives. Sometimes that happens. They just get knocked out of us. And gritty gratitude brings them back into view. There was a visitor who visited a monastery. And he wandered around the monastery, observed what was going on, and he went up to one of the monks and said, "What do you do all day?" And the monk thought and then said, We fall down and we get up. We fall down and we get up. I like this. I like stuff that is huge made simple. We fall down, we get up. It has mercy, it has love, it has forgiveness, it has dependence on God. It's rich. It has my 2 a.m. granola journaling in it. Everything. Your embarrassment this week, or what you thought was embarrassment. I mean, what do you do in this church here at Whitmer Heights? We fall down and we get up. And the truth is this a place where we expect you to fall down and we make it easy to get up? I mean, that's vision statement. I mean, when I look at you, the third of you that are into this sermon, when I look at you, all of us as human people, we're either in a state of falling down, trying to get up, or standing up. We're all in one of those three states. And we learn different stuff in each state. The quality of our gratitude has a different tone in each part of the rhythm. We get up and we choose differently next time. We get up and we choose differently next time. I mean, Christianity is not about walking the tightrope of like, oh, I hope I don't fall over. I better be perfect because God in Christ is perfect so I can be. That's not the way it is. We fall down, we get up. That's the rhythm. We're always kind of batting around like this. That's Christianity. That's how God teaches us. We get up and we choose differently. And this rhythm repeats itself four times in this particular psalm. And I just chose one example. It is the gritty gratitude rhythm. One example. They fall down. Let me just read. I'll just let the words wash over you. They fall down. Here they are when they're falling down. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. I mean, these were people that were so despairing, they were ready to call it quits. Call it quits. This isn't, oh, I didn't get what I wanted today. These were people at the bottom. These were, life was pushing them down. And then they begin to stand up. And this happens when you finally give up on your own efforts, your own self-sufficiency, when you finally go against all the training you ever got in North American Christianity, and you finally come to this point. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. And He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. They start to get up. And then they get up and says, let them give thanks to the Lord for God's unfailing love and God's wonderful deeds for all of humanity. Four times this rhythm happens in Psalm 107. And the point that God's vision for the world is simple. Redemption is for everyone, east, west, north, south, four times. Redemption is for everyone. So next time you read a song, just find that gritty gratitude rhythm. Are they falling down? Are they about ready to get up? Or are they standing up? I mean, that's the spiritual life. That's the spiritual life. We fall down, and then we get up. We fall down, and we get up. It's so simple, but it's solid, and it changes our lives. So if a visitor comes to you here at Whitmer Heights and says, "What do you do here?" I mean, you could say, go to our website, read our vision, talk to our pastor. He'll give you a 5-page theological diatribe on vision. You could do that. And many people do. You know, you say, what's your vision? I don't know. Where's our bulletin? Or, let me make it simple. Just to hold them off, you could say, what do we do here? We fall down and we get up. Yes, but what about outreach and evangelism and all that stuff? You got to go and do. We help others when they fall down. And then we rejoice with them when they get up. We are born to fall. We are born to fall. Sometimes I think in Christianity, we live our Christian faith like, I hope I have my invisible cloak on and God will never see me. We are born to fall. But the good news is God is in the world to help us up. And gritty gratitude is what happens in that moment when life is pushing you down and just before you make that turn to get up. And all I'm saying is, try that once this week. Just once this week in a way you understand. I mean, just watch God appear and expand. Because I believe that Christ has something to teach you this week. And all it takes is when life is pushing you down, turn your head to God and let the teaching begin. Christ has an inexhaustible amount of lessons to teach us. That is the joy of following Christ. And unless we acknowledge falling down, we can't let Christ pull us up. Let the love of Christ expand in you. Just try gritty gratitude once. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are at work. I pray for those who are falling down on their face right now. Give them your grace. I pray for those who are trying to get up. I pray, Lord God, that you will give tenacity and strength. And for those who are standing and praising you right now, I pray that you would give them joy. And may it all work together to give you praise, Lord God. We fall down, we get up, and you're there for us. May your mercy, may your grace, may your hope abide with us this week. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.